Amen, amen, amen. I want y'all to get a picture of that, really. I knew a pastor one time that he had a picture what depicted the hand of God reaching down to the hand of man reaching up. And I'm going to tell you what, it still puts chill bumps on my chill bumps to think about that picture, about the awesomeness of His presence for His children. There is nothing like it in this world. For when you move over into the Spirit of God and you allow the Spirit of God to have His way with you, you will never be the same on how you think about Him. Because I'm telling you, people, He is real. He is real. And I've told y'all before, He's more real than we are. He was here first. He is the one that you can always count on. He's the one that you can always go to, no matter what's going on. He is the one that you need to stand for. One you need to stand for. You know, the world has all kinds of distractions. And most people are looking for something. The thing about it is they don't understand about this book. They don't understand about the words of this book. This book and these words have everything in it that you need. No matter what you think you're looking for, everything that you need is right here. The problem is we don't get into it. We don't let that word become a part of us. We don't jump into those words and let them become who we are. Because once you do that, you never think the same again. You don't sing the same. You don't walk the same. You don't talk the same. Because His word becomes everything to you. You know, there's a lot of people read history. They read romance. They read mysteries. You want to find all that? It's right here. It's all right here. You want history? You want romance? You want power struggles? You want lies and deceit? You want underhanded things? You want intrigue? You want a whodunit? Y'all know about them whodunits, don't you? Well, God already knows whodunit. It's all right here. All you got to do is open the pages up and then jump in the middle of the scripture. And it will become real to you. You see, it's there to show you what to do and what not to do. It'll speak to your heart if you allow it to speak to you. You see, all you got to do is look in the Word of God and you'll find you. You're in there. I'm in there. But there's also something more than that that's in here. And it's called hope and assurance. It's called mercy and grace. It's called a Redeemer who lives forever that makes intercession for each and every one of us day and night and night and day. I don't know of any other human being on the face of this earth that does that for me. Right here. So you see, with all of those reasons, we need to make a stand. At men's breakfast, I had a short devotion there, and I talked to the men about taking a stand. Take a stand. Now's the time. Today is the day. Take a stand. Because if you'll stand for Jesus, you won't fall for the lies and deceit of the enemy. If you'll stand for Jesus, you'll be counted with the one who lives forever. What hope and assurance is that? Man, living forever. See, the devil can't give you that. He can give you death forever. Because that death will be forever. It's an eternal death. You know, I heard a story one time about a burglar. He went into a lady's house in the middle of the night, and he was standing at the dresser about to steal her jewelry. And she woke up, and she sees him standing over her dresser, and she shouts out, Acts 2:38. And the guy froze. She picks up the phone, calls the police. They show up at the door. They come in, and the guy's still standing there at the dresser with his hands on the dresser. And so the policeman asked her and said, why are you still standing like that? How come you didn't run? He said, that lady said she had two axes and a 38. I don't think I would have run either. Can I tell you that that's how the Word of God is in our hearts and our lives, that it should be powerful. It should be awesome when it is used in a correct manner. That's how powerful it is. You know, Hebrews 4:12, and I shared this with the men. No, well, Hebrews 3, actually. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. That's how powerful that this word is. How can we not stand with the one who has all of the answers, that is all powerful over everything in this life? How could we not stand with him? How can we not stand for him? It's just unbelievable that people go the other way. It's unbelievable that they don't want eternal life. You see, they want the eternal life, but on their terms. But that ain't the way that it works. You get eternal life on his terms. You don't get eternal life the way you think, because his thoughts and intents of him are much higher than ours. He knows the beginning from the end. He already knows all these things. How can we not stand for him in every way, shape, and form, in our daily lives, at on our jobs, in our schools, at the gas station, at the grocery store, wherever that you happen to be? How can you not stand for him if you call upon him as Savior and Lord of your life? How can you not do that? How can you not rejoice over knowing him? See, this is a time and a season of rejoicing in Jesus Christ. For like I said a while ago, he is the reason for this season. It's not the Christmas trees. It's not the presents. It's not how many candy canes that you can give out. It's none of those things, although those things are nice. I'm not preaching against any of that. But I am saying that sometimes we lose the true meaning of the season. We lose it. We get wrapped up in all this other stuff. Let's make a stand for Jesus Christ, okay? In the days to come, let our stand shout loud and clear to Oakhurst, Texas, and anywhere else that you happen to live, that Jesus Christ is the only reason for the season. He is the only hope that you have in this life. I'll give you some ammunition. I mean, all you got to do is get into the Word. There's lots of ammunition in here if you just want to shoot. There's lots of ammunition in here in knowing how to talk to somebody with all of their excuses. You see, people who give excuses don't want to. They just don't want to do whatever it is, so they give you an excuse. But a man who wants to do it, he finds a way. He finds a way to get it done. Well, you see, you already know where the way is, and the way is through Jesus Christ. He got it done. He got it finished upon the cross. He got it finished for the Father. Who do you stand for? Do you stand for Christ every moment? Do you stand for Christ only when it's convenient? Do you stand for Christ only when somebody brings you into a church setting? Or do you stand for Christ when it's inconvenient? When it goes against the grain? When it's liable to cause you some pain? Liable to cause you some misery? Standing up for the one who died for you? Will you stand for him? I've told you before, if you hadn't experienced it, it's coming, people. It's coming. I don't care who's in charge or where they're in charge. The Bible never says that it's going to get gooder. It's only going to get worse. You better get ready and know who you stand for. You better know his word so you can stand when the enemy comes against you. You see, he's coming for those who are looking for him. Are you? Do you? Do you look for him every morning when your eyes open and say, "Good morning, Jesus. What are we going to do today?" Or when you go to that time of prayer and you say, "Lord, not my will, but yours. Show me your will today." When you go to the Lord in prayer and you say, "Lord, I got this list here, but I'm going to put my list aside. What's on your list today?" You ever done that? You need to. I'm going to tell you what, some of us, we have a lot of things that we ask for. There's nothing wrong with that. It tells us to ask. But I'm going to tell you what, there comes a point when you need to start listening. Some people have a problem with the listening part. Because sometimes if we listen, there are things we're going to hear we don't want to hear. There are things we're going to hear that we don't want to do. You see, your flesh ain't going to like everything that Jesus asked you to do or not do. You know, America is addicted to sugars. Think about it. There's sugar in everything. Just try going through your cabinet, and anything that's got sugar in it, don't eat it for a month. See what happens. Actually, if you can get through that process, your body will be in better shape in 30 days. But you'll go through withdrawals. If you've never tried that, you ought to, just to see if you can. You ought to. See, be captured by the word of God. Just like that burglar was captured by Acts 2:38. He was captured by the word. And he didn't even know what the word was. He heard two axes in a 38. Who knows what they will hear when you speak the word of God to them? That gives the Holy Spirit an avenue to speak to their hearts. Otherwise, why would they give him the time of day? You see, we reach people because of Holy Spirit within us. And when he lives in you, you can give him away. I told you before, you cannot give away what you do not possess, and you cannot come back from where you have never been. And if you have never been in this word and you do not possess it in your heart, you will never give it away because you don't know what it is. But once you do know what it is, you become responsible to do just that. This is a great season for doing that. A great season. Did you know that this time of the year, probably more suicides? Because people have no hope. They have no assurances. What a greater time to tell them about Jesus Christ, who is the ultimate hope and the ultimate assurance. He is the one that we stand for day and night, night and day, every breath, every word. And when we do, we're going to rub off on some folks. But if you don't open your mouth and you don't show them the truth, they're not going to know it. And whose fault is that? Hours. I know a young preacher friend of mine that the Lord really got a hold of his heart when a deacon in the church made him realize that being in church and out of church, in church and out of church, in church and out of church, that the blood of his children was going to be on his head if he did not lead them in the right way. Now, I'm talking about somebody that's ministering in the church. Revolutionized this young man's life. Revolutionized the way he thought about serving Jesus Christ. You see, it's not an in one day and out the next relationship. It's a every day, every moment, all the time. I'll pick on Brother John. It's a daily walk with him. To be saturated with his word. See, I learned me a new word from Brother John. Saturated with his word. And I'm going to tell you what, when something is saturated, it just kind of oozes out, doesn't it? Why don't you just ooze out on everybody? That might not be a good way of talking about it, but I'm going to tell you what, it paints a pretty good picture. Get a hold of them through the word of God. You know, to take a stand for Jesus, you won't fall for the tricks of the enemy. I seen that on a church sign during the Halloween season. It said if you accept a treat from the devil, it's really a trick. And that's the truth. Truer words were never spoken. So let's take a stand for Jesus today. I want you to turn to 2 Chronicles 23. I talked to the men on Saturday morning about you're never off duty when the fight is on. Some of y'all that were there at that breakfast, you might remember me saying, you're never off duty when the fight is on when you make a stand for Jesus. And that's what we talked about, was making a stand. That was over there in Hebrews 3. It talked about that quick and powerful two-edged sword of the Word of God that takes down the enemy, saves the captive. You want to be in the saving business? Get a hold of it. You can help save some people. You can help save some souls. And you do it with the Word of God, with Holy Spirit living within you, and get a hold of their life. I guarantee you, it'll make an eternal consequence for them. An eternal consequence. So we're at 2 Chronicles 23. I think I got it marked. There it is. Listen to this. If y'all do much reading over in the Old Testament, I'm telling you, like I said earlier, it's full of mystery and intrigue and whodunits and, you know, people getting murdered. And I'm not talking about one or two at a time. I'm talking about a whole bunch of them folks all at one time. And they killed by their own kin folks. They're killed by their best friends. See, you don't need to read none of them novels out there. This is true stuff. That's make-believe what they put in them books. This is real. So it says, in the seventh year of Jehoiada, and he was the priest, he strengthened himself and made a covenant with the captains and hundreds of Azariah, the son of Jehoram, Ishmael, the son of, and I'm not going to go through all them sons and all them guys. And they went throughout Judah and gathered the Levites from all the cities of Judah and the chief fathers of Israel. They came to Jerusalem. You see, Jehoiada had a plan. He had a plan. He was gathering all of the true believers. He was gathering the folks that were of like precious faith. This is a true picture of this. Then all the assembly made a covenant with the king in the house of God, and he said to them, behold, the king's son shall reign as the Lord has said of the sons of David. You see, they came into agreement about something. They had a plan, and they came into agreement. Because you see, all of the heirs to the throne had been killed off. Oh, Athaliah, she had gone through and just killed off all of the heirs to the throne after Ahaziah died. Okay, and that's back up a little bit into 22 there. But Joash, he was just a little kid at the time. He got saved. And he got taken to the house. And he was looked after for 7 years before this happened. Sound like Moses. He was taken care of. He was protected. And then it says that all the assembly made a covenant with the king in the house of God. They said to them, "Behold, the king's son shall reign as the Lord has said of the sons of David. This is what you shall do." You see, Athaliah, if she could have got a hold of Joash, she'd have killed him too. She's one wicked woman, okay? She was super bad. "This is what you shall do. One third of you entering on the Sabbath of the priests and the Levites shall be keeping watch over the doors." One third of these guards, these escorts, these people that were in security, we'll just say it about how it's talked about today, those in the security for the king of the house of the king and for the temple, one third of them was going to stand there at the doors. "One third shall be at the king's house and one third at the gate of the foundation. All the people shall be in the courts of the house of the Lord. But let no one come into the house of the Lord except the priest and those of the Levites who serve. They may go in, for they are holy. But all the people shall keep watch." Keep the watch of the Lord. They weren't allowed to come in. But they were there in a protection mode. They were there in a gathering mode. They were there as believers coming together in like precious faith. "And the Levites shall surround the king on all sides, every man with his weapon in his hand. Whoever comes into the house, let him be put to death. You are to be with the king when he comes in and when he goes out." In other words, you don't never leave the presence of the king. Can I tell you, that's where we need to be. We need to stand so close to him that we are always in his presence. His presence should become all things to us. It should become all important to us. We should never be without him. And we should never not think about him. And then it says, "So the Levites and all the Judah, according to all the Jehoiada the priest commanded, and each man took his men who were to be on duty on the Sabbath with those who were going off duty on the Sabbath, for Jehoiada the priest had not dismissed the divisions." Can I tell you that if you're a child of the king, you ain't never off duty. You got to stay on your guard all the time. The enemy is always trying to get in. He does his job very well because he does get in. You got to watch him because he'll come under the guise even of Scripture. Look what he tried to do Jesus in the wilderness. Hey, he knows what Scripture says. And he'll pervert it for his use any day of the week and twice on Sunday. He'll make you think that he's a little holy angel when he isn't. So you're never off duty. You got to know the words of this book and know whom you stand for so that when the enemy comes against you, you say, "Whoa, wait just a minute. This is the enemy speaking. This ain't God speaking. This is not what God's word said." Even though it's part of what God's word says, it's not all of what God's word says. Be careful. Because you're never off duty when you stand for Jesus. You're never off duty when you're a child of the Most High God. You're never off duty, folks. Even when you're sleeping, you're never off duty. You got to remember that. You got to live it. And when you live it, you're going to show other people. You're going to show them just about how you live. That's the greatest preaching that you'll ever hear, is the way people live. By what they do, says words louder than what I can up here with a microphone on. It'll make a difference in their heart and in their lives. And they too should know Christ. Heaven forbid that we do not tell them. We ought not keep anybody from hearing the gospel. Right? We ought not hear anybody. Isn't that right, Charlie? We ought not hinder anyone from hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it says when they have all heard all over the world, guess what? Jesus is coming. Are you ready? I put that on church marquee one time, two-sided marquee. On one side I said, Jesus is coming soon. And on the other side it said, are you ready now? There was a young man walking down the street on a Sunday morning, and he read that sign that said, Jesus is coming soon. And he walked past the sign, he looked on the other side, and it said, are you ready now? And he knew he wasn't ready. You know something? That boy came right straight in through the doors of that church and got saved that day. See, you never know what's going to speak to somebody's heart when you make a stand for Jesus. All day long, every day, every moment. Standing for Him. I'm going to tell you what, people know who you stand for. They know who you stand for by the words you use, the actions you take, the places you go, how you conduct yourself. They know who you stand for without you ever saying a word, because your actions speak louder than your words. You can tell them all you want to, but if you do different, that ain't true. That's just the way it is. So you're never off duty when the fight is on. Can I tell you, you're in a fight all the time? There's a spiritual fight that goes on. There's a war that's taking place in the heavenlies right now for the souls of men and women. Will you get into the fight? Or will you say, well, you know, that's somebody else's deal. Somebody else's, they're the prayer warrior. Well, you know, I don't have enough time. I work all these hours and I'm gone all these days. And, you know, besides that, my morning starts at 8 o'clock and not at 5. And God's heard all them excuses. Let me just say it this way. What do you want to hear when you stand before Him? Enter in, my good and faithful servant, or depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Which one do you want to hear? Make a stand for Jesus Christ and do it today. Do it right now. What better time? Don't make an excuse. You see, He gives us everything we need to make a stand. He gives us His Word. And I'll just pick on Brother John again. You know, Brother John's been teaching in 300 Bible study. And he's been in Ephesians 6, putting on the armor of God. Well, that last one, I'm going to tell you what, I love the sword of the Spirit, man. Whew! There is so much meat in there. I preached a message on the sword of the Spirit about 20 years ago. And I kept looking around trying to find me a sword. As a prop, you know. And lo and behold, my youngest son, they seen a place on the side of the road that was selling swords. So he stopped and bought me a sword. I still got that sword. I preach that message with that sword. Have them turn the lights down and put the spotlights on the stage, and you hold that sword up, man, that thing sparkles and shines. I just read to you in Hebrews 4:12, quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. That's what the word is. That's your defense. That's your offensive weapon, is His sword. You don't have to use your fist. Besides that, your fist just gets you in trouble, okay? Use this sword. It'll still get you in trouble, but it'll be for the right reason. There'll come a day when they ain't going to hear this and they put you in prison. They're already doing it around the world in more than 60 countries to our Christian brothers and sisters. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear the word. It's an affront to them. You know why? Because they're just making excuses. They like their excuses more than they want to be saved. Do we? Do we like our excuses more than making a permanent stand for Jesus Christ? Let's go over to Ephesians 6. We're just going to talk about it, John. John does an excellent job. I'm going to tell you what, I can't take nothing away from the man. He has thought through them lessons. He knows exactly what he's talking about. Y'all need to come 300 Bible study. It's only one first Tuesday every month. Besides that, they'll feed you. I told y'all before, that's how Jesus got them together. He fed them. Food always gathers folks, doesn't it? Yeah, yeah. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Here's His might right here. Strong in the Lord in His word. I'm going to tell you what, if you're strong in His word and you're strong in His might, you're going to stand for Him. Ain't nobody, they may knock you down, but they ain't going to keep you down. You know, I've only been knocked out one time in my life, and that's because I fell off a ladder backwards onto the concrete and hit my head. That's the first time I ever experienced that. It was like, wow, what was that? Everything turned black. I turned completely numb. I was bleeding something terrible all over my son's sidewalk. Thank God nothing else happened to me. I bled a little bit. I don't know if it knocked sense into me or out of me, son. There's no telling. Only time will tell about that. So be strong. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and take a stand for Him. Like I told you before, if you take a stand for Jesus, you won't fall for the schemes of the enemy. Take a stand for Him. Put on the whole armor of God, you may be able to stand. New King James says wiles. That just means schemes, trickery, whatever. You put your own word in there for wiles. Most people don't know what wiles is. That's not after wiles. So. You'll be able to stand against Him. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities against the rulers of the darkness and spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. That is who we're against. We're not against people. We don't take a stand against people. We take a stand against these things of the Spirit because that is who controls them. They have allowed the enemy to come in and overtake them. We have been overtaken by Holy Spirit. Let's live like it. Let's live to stand for it. Let's live in it. Because when we do, we're going to make a difference. I guarantee you'll make a difference. You see, you'll see the opportunities of a lifetime and right in front of you when you're looking for them. But if you ain't looking for them, if you're not stayed up in this word, if you haven't taken an ultimate stand for Christ, you're not going to see those opportunities because those distractions out there will pull you aside. They will make you think otherwise. You see, you have to let Him be in control. not you. See, I tried to do that for about 38 years, control. Never did work. Oh, I thought I was doing good till I met Jesus. I found out how bad I was actually doing. I found out how lost I actually was. I found out how partial that I actually was. But when I met him, all that changed. I told y'all before, I got saved. I put down everything I used to listen to, music, anything, everything. I put down all the books because I've always been an avid reader. I put down everything and I picked up that Bible. And for 2 years, that's all I did is read the Bible. I wanted to know what it said. I wanted to know what it had for me. And then I found out that that was supposed to come into me so I could give it away. You know, that's what the book tells you. It tells you that, doesn't it, Charlie? It tells you that. You're supposed to get into it and then give it away. I told y'all before, I'm just one beggar telling the other beggars where the bread is, okay? That eternal bread from heaven. That if you eat of that bread, you'll be hungry no more. If you'll drink of his blood, if you'll drink of those things, that river of liver, the river of life, if you'll drink of that, you'll be thirsty no more. You will find the truth. That's right. And it will set you free, won't it, Charlie? Hey, I'm going to tell you what. When it gets a hold of you, it'll set you free. Not free from the problems of this life. It'll set you free from yourself. It'll set you free from the control of the enemy in parts of your life. That's what it'll do. And then you are truly free when the world don't have a hold on you. In fact, Jesus told them, John 17, 14 and 15, he told them, he said, look, he said, you got to be in the world, but you don't need to be of the world. And I'm going to tell you what, if you are a blood-bought, born-again child of the Most High God, you're just here for a purpose because you're leaving here. You're leaving here one day. I don't know when that day is. Wouldn't make any difference to me. You know something? You know what keeps you on your toes is you don't know when he's coming. You don't know when he's coming, so you got to be ready all the time. Take a stand for Jesus Christ and your opportunities will be right in front of you. They'll come shake your hand one day, and then all you have to do is take a hold of it. It's all you got to do. Because I'm going to tell you what, when you're walking with Jesus, he ain't going to leave you. He ain't going to leave you dangling. He ain't going to leave you clueless as to what to say and how to do what to do. He won't leave us. He's there for us. Can I tell you that he is not against us? He is for us. Just remember, you can always call on him. Always. Day or night, night or day. The Bible says he never sleeps or slumbers. You won't have to wake him up. He's ready for your call. Won't you stand with me for a few moments? We're going to have baptism here in just a moment. We got a couple of young men that are going to show their profession in Jesus Christ. Amen. By following the Lord in baptism. Y'all know that baptism is simply a symbol of dying in Christ to an old life, and we come up new. We come up a new person, a new man, a new woman, a new boy, a new girl. We come up new in him. And then we can make that stand for him. See, baptism is part of that stand for him. We're letting everybody know that we believe. Amen. We let everybody know. Shout it from the rooftops. Let's make a stand for Jesus, church. Individually, each one of us could touch, I don't know how many of y'all are in here today, what, 50, 60, whatever. I'm not into numbers. I can't judge. But if we won one soul, this congregation would double next Sunday. In about three Sundays, we'd have chairs in the foyer. Because you see, we're supposed to be making disciples. Not just converts. Disciples. Because the disciple is going to do what the master says. Convert just changed his mind. Okay? Now, I'm not picking on converts because I love converts. But I'm going to make disciples out of them. See? I'm going to make disciples out of them so they go win more. After all, that's what we're supposed to be doing. Let's make a stand for Jesus Christ. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we're going to take a short break, and we'll have baptism. Okay, Father, I thank you today, Lord, for your love, your mercy, your tenderness. Lord, if there's one here today, Lord, that does not know you as their personal Savior, as Lord of their life, Lord, I pray, Lord, right now, Lord, that they would come. They would come and make it right with you, Lord. That their hearts, Lord, would be changed, Lord. That they would show the world, Lord, that they're making a stand for you as their Redeemer, as their Savior, as the one whom they can always depend upon. I ask you, Father, just to speak to each and every heart in this place today, Lord, that where any of us, Lord, we fall short of that taking the ultimate total stand for you, Lord, that we would step one step closer to you, Lord, as of this moment, to stand even more strong in your Spirit, to stand more strong in your Word, and to stand more strong in prayer. I ask you, Father, just to reach and touch every heart. I ask you, Father, just to be with us, Lord, as we baptize these, Lord, that have come for baptism today. And that, Father, we just be careful, Lord, to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.